So today we have in the Ori Nayim, there's not that much on Parsky Seitzei, but the Ori Nayim shtells on the Pasuk of Kisivna Bayez Chodosh Rasisa Michael Gagecha. Torah says in this week's Parsha, when you build yourself a new house, you shall build a fence around the roof. Why is this significant? It sounds like a very innocuous, straightforward Pasuk, Dafshin Nun Aleph. Build a house, you put a fence around the roof to protect people from falling. So he explains this based on, he says the pshat is like this. The Yisoid, this Yisoid is repeated again and again in the Moranayim, that there are two dimensions of life. There is life in the Olam HaMaisa, and there's life in the Olam HaMachshava. There's the world of action and the world of thought. The world of thought is much higher than this lowly world of action. And the truth of the matter is that if a person would live in the world of thought rather than the world of action, and realize that thoughts are stronger than actions, then that would be a very powerful person. Because in the world of thought, thought is unlimited. This could sound like a lot of gobbledygook, just like our words, but let's try to flesh it out. When we even, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, there's no way that God can be sensed by our five senses. Obviously, there's no way that we could taste or smell, or touch, or hear, or see God. It is impossible. The only shaychus we have with God is in the world of thought. Because that's where He is. Because thought, if you think about it, is unlimited. Our vision can only see for a couple of miles. Can only hear for a certain distance. Can only touch that which you're touching. Can only smell a close-up fragrance. You can only taste something in your mouth. So, the five senses are limited. The thought process, the mind, is as unlimited as it comes. As unlimited as humanly capable. With your thought, you can imagine what it's like to be in outer space, out there with 100 billion galaxies, each one 100 billion stars. You can think about the idea of something being a trillion, trillion light years away. You can think it. You can't possibly see it, or touch it, or taste it, but you can think it. So, that's pretty basic. But the point is that when you become, if you're really into your thoughts, you become a no-limit person. Because if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. We really are self-limiting. And this really sounds like basic, you know, psychology and the very popular psychobabble of, you know, career pumping up, be a no limits person, be all that you can. But it's really true. We are limited only by our five senses. If our thoughts are more powerful than our senses and our past experience, then we really can do a lot of things we never, if we think it's possible, the only thing that's stopping us is, of course, until now we thought it's impossible. So the Odom HaMachshava says the Heilige Moranayim is an awesome place. It's a no-limits place. And the truth is, that's the main place, because that's where God is. And thoughts come from God. Really, God controls us. Do you think God holds us by the hand and tells us to push a trigger? God creeps into our mind, so to speak, and says, pull the trigger. The trigger gets pulled by Hashem giving us the thought to pull the trigger. He doesn't have to, so to speak, hold our finger and actually flex the finger to pull the trigger. The Rebbeinu Shlom controls our thinking. And he tells you to go to the Shirat, not tonight. Then, I mean, so to speak, you walk to yourself. God put the idea in your mind, and then you followed the idea. The idea made it happen. And when you realize that our relationship with Hashem is a thought process, then you become an amazing person, because this is the Chiddush of the Maharanayim, where he says, Keseder again and again, that when you're in the world of thought, you're lamala mikol hadinim. You're above all din. Now, the last place you want to be is in din. Din is judgment. Din is judgment. Now, judgment is not good. We don't want to have dinim. The last thing a person wants to have on himself is dinim. Dinim means punishment. Dinim means sentencing. And, you know, it's really a beautiful thing that we call the judgment that is given out by a judge, it's called a sentence. Because what is a sentence? It's a little string of words ended by a period. Period. It's over. Limitation. A period of limitation. So, a judge, when he issues his verdict, and we call it a sentence, that's what Hashem is doing. The point is, if you're living in the world of limits, so there's room for judgments. Let me put it this way. I'll put it this way. The Vard is that Hashem in His real self is Ein Sof, is infinite and without end. And without end, all there is Chesed. Hashem is all good. So how is there anything that we perceive as bad in the world? Because, so to speak, there's a firewall, there's an obstacle, there's an end to Hashem's good. Something is stopping Hashem's good. So, good is all over the place. Just that you and I live in a glass bubble, and the good can't get in. It's all around. So, there's good that's banging on the bubble every day long. Say, hello, monk, let us in. We want to bring good to your life. We're from Hashem. Hashem is all good. Only good comes from God. So how come? So where's all that good? Asked Mr. Monk. The answer is, you built a bubble around yourself. You put yourself into a fishbowl, and that fishbowl is holding back all that good from getting to you. You're not letting it in there. Because you have put limitations on your world. You! All the non-good, it's all our fault, so to speak. We did it to ourselves. Because we're living in the Olam HaTzimtzum. And we do that, really, by judging others, for starters. And judging God, even. And questioning, is God really here? Like the Jewish people said in the Midbar, is God really here? Can God really do it? Does God really care? Does God really hear? Does God really know? Is he really in charge? All these doubts, which are Taka Amalek and Gamachia's doubt, are in the world of our thoughts. Our thoughts, we build a thought ozone layer belt around ourselves, whereby, since we haven't learned enough about Hashem, and we don't trust Hashem enough, so we have limited our idea of God. And therefore, that limitation puts us in this ozone layer around us that doesn't let God's good penetrate into our lives. You understand the drift of where I'm going? Good. So, it's like, I would just love to reach out and give you a big hug right now. You're such a nice person. But you're sitting two rows away from me, so there's two tables between us. Who told you to sit so far? So why aren't you getting the warmth and the benefit of all my love right now? It's because of you. You sat two tables away. You could have sat right next to me. I'd love to have you sit right next to me. Why don't you sit right next to me? Because you didn't think that I would really want you next to me. You don't trust me enough. You don't think I'd want to be so close to you. You don't think you're worthy of me wanting you so close. That's why you're sitting so far away. I can't even get to you. But the reason I'm not getting to you is not because of lack of will on my part. Because you have set yourself apart from me. You have made a distance. You have made a separation between you and I. It's your problem, not God's problem. God is all good. God only wants to give love, goodness, kindness to every creature. But the creatures don't, number one, think themselves worthy. And they don't really trust God enough. Amunah means trust. They don't really, does God really love me that much? Come on, it sounds like such a fairy tale. Really, God loves you incredibly. Do you believe what you said just now by the Dovah Shemori? Even my father and mother abandon me, God will gather me in. Can you imagine parents abandoning their children? But it does happen. But not God. Maybe the problem is that you are projecting upon God your own parental experience. That's the problem. Maybe the problem is that you think God's like your parents. And just like your parents abandon you, God's going to abandon you. So if you don't really have faith in God. That's why it's so important to have found your parents. And remember the rule, but you know, a lot of times it's not the kid's fault. Before the parents can honor the parents have to make themselves worthy of honor. A lot of parents aren't. And those parents, you know what? You don't have to honor them. You stay away from them. But the reason why it's such a big, the greatest kindness parents do to their children is when it's taka kareis avicha vesimecha, the parents are together with a shalom bias amongst the parents, and the parents reach out to their kids and touch their kids and embrace their kids and comfort the kids and relate to their kids. So that gives a child some vehicle whereby it can have a little idea of how much Hashem loves them. Look at my parents, how good they are to me. They're really good. And they love me for my sake, not for their sake. They're not using me and abusing me for their own vicarious thrills. They really love me for me and accept me as me. And even if I'm a Down syndrome kid, even if I'm autistic, they still love me. Don't throw me out of the house. And even if I'm a C student or a C minus, they still love me and they accept me for what I am. Wow, now if my parents accept me like that, I can believe that God, who's the ultimate parent, also accepts me like that. But a person who hasn't had a good parental relationship, and most people don't, I'm afraid, unfortunately, many don't. So they really don't have a good role model to project upon God. So the Mor Nayim is telling us that all the tzaras of life, all the darkness, all the gloom, all the depression, all sickness, all sadness, all poverty, all loneliness is self-inflicted. Because we are living in the lowest world, the world of Maisa, in the limited world, limited by the five senses. And if we would project ourselves to the other machshava and think more about Hashem, and the Rambam says, Yosef Mizbainin, and think about God, think what awesome world He made. It's a machshava. If we live in the world of machshava, we start to realize how awesome God is, how endless God is, and we realize that the whole world is nothing compared to God anyway. So God made big suns, and which are infinitely bigger than me, but compared to God, they're nothing. Of course, if we have 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars, so every individual star, even the sun, which is just a nice big star, is really nothing compared to the whole galaxy, but God made it. And it's very big. So I can also be very big, even though I'm so little. So by thinking and expanding our thinking, real thinking big, we lift ourselves out of the limited world, and that breaks the bubble and allows us to be closer to Hashem, that we break this self-imposed exile. We have exiled ourselves from Hashem. Klai Yisrael and Golus is just really a metaphor for each and every one of us. We have our own Golus from God. Every one of us is exiled from God. Every one of us has, but it's self-imposed. Just like, whose fault is it that the Jews are in Golus? Is it God's fault? No, it's our fault. God drew us closest possible to Him at Har Sinai. And from day one, the Jew says, too much. And then we drew away from God even further. And we built the golden calf. And then we went even further. We didn't even want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And we believed the Meraglim. Couldn't believe that God wants us so close at home. We didn't believe that God wants us home. We were like lost kids who don't believe their parents wanted to come home. And God's land is a lousy land. He says, no good, we don't want it. Bad place. What do you mean? How could you believe that Mitzrayim is better than Eretz Yisrael? How could you do that slavery? Because people did not think big enough. It's like the Mor Naim says again and again, that the Golos Mitzrayim was Golos Hadas. It is all in the mind. The mind of the Jewish people alienated itself from Hashem. And it made up a physical alienation, and Golos followed suit. But it all starts in the mind. If we would just think all day about a lot about God and say, wow, Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me, I can have everything. He has everything, He wants to give me everything, and I deserve everything. I know I'm not about, I do have errors, etc., but I am a son of God, and I am God's creation. And that therefore I'm awesome, because I'm a creation of the awesome Creator, and that endows me with an awesomeness too. God doesn't make junk. I am special. God only makes special things. I am made to order. I am custom made. Hashem loves me. Hashem wants to give me everything I believe with all my heart and soul. That the Rebbeinu Shlalom wants to give me everything. I believe it. I want it. I deserve it. I need it. Send it. Dear God, actually you sent it already. Hashem, let me get closer to you and receive the package. We're making a big mistake when we daven. We're daven Hashem. Send me your refuah. Send me Yeshua. Send me money. Send me nachas. It's sent already. And the delivery boy is ringing the bell. It's just that we can't believe it. And therefore we're so scared. We can't believe it. We're running into the back room and not listening to the bell. The bell's ringing. The guy's banging on the door. Open up! Hashem is saying, open up! Pischili dodi rayasi doshi yashirim. Shirashim is saying, Hashem is saying, I sent it out, special delivery. It's at the door, but you're not opening the door. You're not opening the door. You gotta believe. You gotta believe. You gotta open your ears up. Say, I want to hear God. Hashem, I want to hear you. I want to believe that you believe in me. I believe that God believes in me. We don't believe in ourselves. And therefore we don't believe in God. We don't believe that we're worthy of all the good stuff God wants to give us. If we believed it, we have to push ourselves all the time. You gotta spend more on yourself. You gotta be nicer to yourself. Pamper yourself a little bit. You spending enough money on yourself? You need a new Shabbos suit? Why don't you get it? You can afford it. You don't think you're worth it, that's all. You know you can afford it. It's free anyway, Shabbos. Okay, so I have a new suit for Yom Tov. What's wrong? I don't know if I really need it. Shabbos, Yom Tov, of course. Get a new suit, new tie, new wardrobe, shirts, pants, everything, the works. Should I have a new suit lately? Why not? You did, I'm proud of you. What? Yeah, but you're going to think about returning it already. I know, I see it on your eyes. Don't return it, keep it. So Zogdvay Nayim, that old tzaras that come to people, is because the Malubish B'dinim, Dinim, which means punishment literally, sentencing, is that we have sentenced ourselves to live in this very limited, dreary, gloomy world. But if we elevate ourselves to Lama Machshava, if we think about God, just that itself, thinking about Hashem, lifts us to a higher level, to a different world. And up there, there are no Dinim. Nothing, there's nothing bad over there, because there is nothing bad in the world b'chlal. Bad just means an absence of good. And in this world, we ourselves pull ourselves away from the good. But up there, if you go to the Olam HaShava, and think about how good Hashem is, Toiv Lodis L'Hashem, L'Zam L'Shem Chalyon, up there, there's no din, there's no judgment, we're not judged. Judgment, by definition, means, I'm saying, this is good, and this is not good. That was the original sin. To eat from the tree of Eitz HaDaas, Toiv V'ra. That Adam is deciding on himself, this is good, this is not good. God is good, God is not good. There's limits to God's goodness. That's called, what do you know Eitz HaDaas Tov V'ra means? This is Gevaltig of Merit Gezachen. Eitz HaDaas Tov V'ra means the tree whereby man limits the goodness of God. That's what Nachash said to him. That's what Nachash said to Adam and Chav. He said, only eat from the tree. God doesn't want you to eat from the tree because he wants to limit you. And he doesn't want competition. But you're just as great as God. That's false. But by saying that we're as great as God, you're saying that there's a limit to God's sovereignty. That God, we're also sovereigns. That's the limitation of Hashem. Hashem is everything. Hashem is the only sovereign. Ein ois levadai! There's nothing but God. Wherever there's God, there's blessing, there's goodness, prosperity, health, everything you want. But we don't believe it because we're living in the world of action, and we can't. We just can't comprehend. We're not thinking about God enough. We're looking at ourselves. We're looking at good and bad based on our five senses. There's limitations. If Amuna means I believe that God is all good. That's what Amuna means. Amuna doesn't mean I believe in God. What do you mean I believe in God? I add another zero to God. God is good. Add a zero to God, you get good. There's no end. It's like a zero, a circle. There's no end. The goodness of God is no end. If I believe that God is like a circle, there's no end to His goodness, then it becomes good. I made a good God out of God, and there's no bubble around me. There's no insulation between me and God. There's no armor between me and God. And I get all the brachas you can imagine. Wow. So, says the Moranayim, that's the pshat in the pasuk. He sivne, I thought this is a short stickle, it's not even the page, it's not even once, it's almost like a few, it's almost very short, but it's really very long. I didn't expect it to take this long. So the Moranayim says, that's pshat in Heiligen Parsha. Ki sivne bayis chodosh. Vasisa maikel agagecha. When you build a new house, he says the pshat is, this is very appropriate for a Chanukah Sabayas. You know, the reason why I make a Chanukah Sabayas, I'm very into it, is because, we have to make maybe in your edition, is because when a person makes a Chanukah Sabayas, it's Mo'ir Dinim. Believe it or not, Chanukah Sabayas is dangerous. It means the same, you build a new house. If you build a new house, especially in a new place where there was nothing before, so you are being Mitzamsem. Until you built the house, it was open land. It was never limited by human activity. There were trees, there were rocks, but that was put there by Hashem. That's fine. That's not called limitation. But when I arrogate to myself the right to build on virgin soil, and I put a box of a house on this virgin soil, I am in this essence limiting the free roaming and the free flow of nature. And that's Moira Dinim, because Din means limitation. This is the aside of dinim. Dinim means limitations. No bigger limitation than the person who builds a house. Very dangerous thing to do, to build a house on new land. That's what the Gemara, the Maral says. That's why it says in the Gemara, Kol Oisik v'Binyan Mismaskein. Whoever is Oisik in building gets poor. What does that mean? Because poverty means limitation. And building is limitation. That's why it's so important to make a Chanukah Sabayas. Well, if it's built by a guy, it doesn't make a difference, really. Once it's built there, it doesn't make a difference. It can't hurt. If you think there's not good mazel there, it can go through the ritual Chanukah Sabayas. So, he said, when you build a house, it's Moira Dinim, especially in Chutz Laaretz, because there are koiches filling the whole world, especially Shadim. And when you build a house, you are getting in the way of the Shadim. And the Shadim Tak are the shade that separates between us and God. So the Torah says, Kisidna, by his chodesh, you build a new house. Vasisa, Michael Gagecha. You want to have a tikkun for the Micah. Micah, it says literally in Hebrew, the word Micah comes from Meik. Meik means tsaris. Like he said in Yukon Purkin, we call Oka, Da Oka, they're going, that means this hurts. Oka, Oka, Marambi, Oka means a tsar. By definition, when you build a house, you're making a mic, you're making a fence. So, the answer, what's the answer? Go to the Gag. Go to the highest world, the roof world, which is the world of Machshava. And you'll be medabik your Machshava to the Rabbi Yishtalom. Because if you don't, ki sivna by his chodesh. Otherwise, you will fall down. If you don't build the Gag, if you don't go to the Elamach Shava, then you'll be living, you'll be falling down into this world of Maisa. Because since you build a house, and a house is Tzimtzum, a house is limitation, a house is barriers, a house is setting up a barricade against the forces of nature which roam freely till now, so you're looking for trouble. So, Asisa Micah, you have Micah. You'll have Oka, you'll have Tsaris. So the answer is, the Gagecha, go to your roof. Go on the roof.
and go to the highest place, go to the other machshava. Because otherwise, people on earth, mimena, should be falling. Because otherwise, there'll be dinim falling upon you, and they'll be your own fault. You brought it upon yourself. So this is your choice in life. You can live in the basement, you can live on the roof. Where do you want to live? A basement life, the life of rats, damp, dark, musty basement. But if you live in the gag, then you're top, living, you're fiddling on the roof, you want a fiddler on the roof. And up there on the roof, everything is good. No problem on the roof. That's why he said the word gag, he says, gagecha, in gematria is gimel gimel chav is 26, which is shem avaya. The gematria of shem avaya is gagecha, your roof. Go to the top, go to the roof of the world. Don't live in the basement, live on the roof. Fiddle on the roof. No, okay, because God is above the roof. You're on the roof. The roof, you're above the limitation. You're on top of the roof. That's the point. You have to be on the God, not on the Micah. There's a Micah around the house, so go on the roof, which is higher. Otherwise, keep on over the matter. Otherwise, you'll fall down. That's very tight there. Mainly says the same shot in the Gemara in Gittin. Where it says that Mar Ukva had a problem, he had enemies who were trying to hurt him. And he didn't know what to do. I'm sorry, that Mar Ukva, someone else. It was someone else who sent to Mar Ukva, who was the Reish Galusa. People are trying to hurt me. And how do I stop them? So he said, Daim Lashem Vizchaylalo. He says, get up morning and night and go to Shulam Davin. And that way, you will make your enemies fall like chalalim, like dead corpses. Which means is that all your enemies are only in this world. But if you would, Daim Hashem, if you would imagine that you would Hashem, Lashem Dimyan, if you'd use your imagination and imagine how great God is endless and awesome, then all your enemies who are in this world of Dinim would just fall before you and they'd be like empty paper mache, paper tigers. Have no power of you. This is one of the great yesayas of the Mora Naim, he says in many places. This yesay that dinam only are on this lowly world. You go to the world of Moshav, you're above the dinam. So, that was the Mora Naim segment for today. I Baruch Hashem, I'm glad to have you explained in a little greater depth. But let's, there's another, actually, that he explains this, he saw it again in Parshas Vayetze, he explained it earlier. And he says, there he says it even in greater length, and he says that in this lowly world we have a hischalkos between chesed and gvura. In this lowly world there's a difference between good and gvura, which is strong dinim. But up there there's no difference. That's the story of Yaakov Avinu and the ladder. That's the parts of the Yetzei. Yaakov Avinu is above the chesed of Avram and the gvur of Yitzchak. He's teferes, which means unlimited chesed. But it's total chesed. Unlimited. Unadulterated. It's scalaless. It's the mixture of chesed and gvura, that the perfect mixture, and there really is no gvur anymore, the gvur is drowned in the chesed. And the same word, he's speaking about it again and again, that when you go up to the world of Machshava, Ein satna vein pegara. There's no satna up there, there's no pegara, there's no punishment, there's no nothing. And up there, you saw that Ein adinim natakim el b'shurashan. When you go to the shayrish, when you go to the source, the dinim are nimtak. There's a mesikas adinim. I just wanted to share with you, in the Kedushas Levi part of this, I wanted to share with you, there is a shtickle on this week's parsha. It's a whole different shtickle. And it's also a deep vort. But I'm not sure if the kayach say it over. So maybe I'll first, Mom should have the kayach at this hour of night to say over such a deep vort. It was hard enough to say over the vort of the Kedusha of the Maranayim. So, but there's a section here called Halichas Menhagim. The Minhagim and the conduct of the Kedushas Levi. and a few things maybe we could share from over here. Just amazing things that, I mean, things that, you know, the Gudish Levi was a Rav in a town called Zelichov for 12 years before he went to Berdichev. He became the Rav Berdichev in 1785. Tav Kuf Mem Hei. He began the Rav Berdichev in 1785. He lived longer than the Mori Nayim. But he was in Zelichov from the year Tav Kuf Chaf Aleph, from 1761. And it ended in 1771. And from there, from Zelichov, went to Pinsk. Pinsk was a great city in White Russia. He was a big guy. He was a big, huge place against Talmud Chacham. But in Pinsk, they threw him out. Can you imagine throwing out the Rebbe Kedush Levi? Because he was a chassid. They have such a mistagdus. This is the early days. Especially in White Russia, a lot of mistagdus. Chassidus didn't take on so well in Litva and White Russia because these are Talmudim of Vilna Gaon. Only chassidus that flourished in the White Russia was Chabad. A little stall in Karlin, but spread like wildfire. Many different chassidus, especially Galicia. I would say Galicia is the heartland of chassidus. That's where chassidus really was, wow. Like a juggernaut. Anyway, he was in Zelichov, and there he made a takana, that if Yom Tov comes down on Shabbos, now if Yom Tov comes down on Shabbos, the Yeduchen, here we have a kohen in residence over here, the Yeduchen on Yom Tov comes down on Shabbos?
Yes.
Yes, but no, you don't sing and you don't have the tchinas, you just go straight. But you do duchen on Yom Tov that comes on Shabbos. You don't duchen on Shabbos for a moment, of course. But Yom Tov Shabbos, you don't. You might think that on Shabbos Chol HaMoed you might do it. But on Yom Tov that comes on Shabbos, this year we're going to have Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. First Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, I think. It's very often lately. So, we'll duchen. We will be duchening. But the Kedushas Levi was Masakin in his town of Zelichov. No duchening on Yom Tov that comes on Shabbos. No duchening. I like that. And he said to the people that it's a skula, that there shouldn't be any fires in the city. And you know, today, you don't have too many fires, Baruch Hashem. It's not one of the things we worry about too much. But in the olden days, fire, the buildings were mamish ramshackle wooden buildings, and the roofs were thatch. So a fire, one house caught fire in the city, in a Jewish city or any city, that could be the doom of the whole city. And many cities were burned to the ground. History. What? Yeah, that was a ramshackle city. Mrs. O'Leary's cow knocked over the lantern and lit the hay, right? As I zogged them. But it didn't happen again because they rebuilt the city in a much better way. So the San Francisco earthquake in 1906, the more damage done by fire than by earthquake. Fire is very dangerous in the olden days, where the materials are very combustible. So he said to the skula that there should not be a sreif in the city if you don't duchen on Shabbos, on Yom Tov comes to Shabbos. And if even one house gets burned, it will not spread. Only the house will burn. If you did this, they introduced this takana, they accepted it, and takana no fires. When he left Zelichov, they were Pinsk, and they took a different rav in Zelichov, he changed the minhag back to the old way, which is what we do all over the world. To duchen on Yom Tov Shabbos Shabbos, and immediately that year there was a fire, a huge fire in Zelichov, and came out the entire city and the base measures was burnt down to the ground. So from that time on, they went back to the old takana of Gush Levi not to duchen on Shabbos, on Yom Tov comes on Shabbos.
What's the connection?
What?
What's the connection?
I don't know. I was just about to ask you that question. What's the connection? What? I don't know. Never heard such a thing. There's a coin here. That was his minhag. It was a school against Rafis. What's the connection? I really don't know. Maybe. I'll tell you why. You can figure it out yourself. He figured it out. I can see in your forehead. Because if you duchen on Yom Tov that comes on Shabbos,
people will think it's really Yom Tov, not Shabbos, and they'll burn fires because Havar is Mutl, Tzarech Yom Tov. So they'll make fires. That's the reason why they'll be Shreifas. Psh, that's a good pshat. That's a good pshat. They really will. They think, oh, that's such a the Yom Tov is more important than Shabbos. But then Shabbos Yom Duchim. Yom Tov, Havar Shabbos is more Yom Tov. It's primarily Yom Tov. They'll think it's Yom Tov. They'll treat it like Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you can make a fire. Havar is Mutl, Yom Tov, Tzarech Yom Tov. So that's why it's not good to do it, because they'll make a fire. Not bad. Yeah. That's what we do, right? So we do it that way, so it's different. So Mr. Coleman says, very good. We avoid the problem by showing you 1 second. It's not really a regular Yom Tov. Because you don't do like a regular Yom Tov with the Negunim and the Tchinus. But he wanted to go even further. To make sure that such a mistake couldn't happen. Maybe the people would be bigger Maratzim. Good, very good. That's your pshat, is good pshat nuts. Very nice. Let me tell you how he would sleep. It's hard to believe this. First of all, before he went to sleep, he's a mefashi shemai, so he went through every single word he said throughout the day, every single action. Make sure there's no mold in his words and his actions. They were perfect, unmoldy, undefiled. Then, when he finally went to sleep, he wouldn't sleep to the length of the bed, he slept to the width of the bed, with his head hanging over on one side and his feet on the other side. Not exactly conducive to long night sleep. I don't think I had king size beds either. It wasn't a sili pastropedic or a sleepy. So, and on each side of the bed, he had one person learning on each side. One learned Zoyar, and the other one learned Yankov or Medrash. And when he would get up in the middle of the night, which was quite often, he would get up and would watch the Yadayim and say, Rabbi Shlalom, Ein Shina Lefanecha, there's no sleep before you. And when I think about the fact that you're in front of me all the time, and you're not sleeping, and you're watching over me, how can I sleep? That's what he would do again and again. Where was his wife? Not in that bed, obviously. That's how this tzaddik slept. You hear? That was amazing. That's how he slept. Lots of tzaddikim slept. They took little cat naps a few times a night. They did not have a very comfortable sleep. No. What? Yeah, I heard that the Levaya, he's up on the board for the last 30, 40 years of his life. Well, if he enjoys sleeping, he can sleep on the board too. I hear every board meeting, everyone falls asleep. You're on the board and they sleep. Every time I have a board meeting, they fall asleep. Anyway, another thing is, the Balatanya did not use, most Rebbes use 12 challahs for Shabbos. They make mamotzi on 12 challahs. Like connected lechem upon them. The Balatanya, Chabad is very much, very streamlined chassidus. They wear different kind of clothing, they don't wear shrimals. Chabad doesn't wear shrimals. They don't pay us either, the Chabad gets. It's an amazing thing, they don't pay us. No shrimal. Simple clothing, they don't decorate the sukkahs. That's lately, I don't think that's always like that. But they wear, they wear bekesha, they wear kapata, not bekesha. They wear litvashib kapata. They wear regular hats, pinched fedoras. They don't wear even up hats, they don't wear beaver hats, they don't wear shrimals. They wear a gartle, yes. But they do a lot of things very simple. The clothing is simple. Minhagim very simple. They're not into a lot of this stuff. So the Balatanya did not use 12 challahs. And he asked the B'lei B'Yitzchak, the Reditcher, who's his Mechutin, I think the children got married, maybe the grandchildren. So he asked them, it doesn't say any place in Gantz Chazal, you should use 12 challahs. Why do you use 12 challahs? How can the Reditcher use 12 challahs? All rabbis today, most of them use 12 challahs. So he said, the Gemara says in Brachos of Lama Tesson Beis and elsewhere, Rav Zeira, he bought that Kula Sherusa. Rav Zeira, on his Friday night meal, would make a motzi on a piece of on bread equal to what he ate the whole week. So he says, figure it out. The whole week he washed twice a day, breakfast and supper. So that's 6 times 2 is 12. So that's where you get 12 challahs. Then Shabbos, you're supposed to have challahs connected the whole week. That's the chashivas to show that Shabbos is more chashivas than all the weeks is equal to all the days of the week. So that's what the marker is. If Zeir Batzah, Kulish Yerusa,
Kiminyan Sudas of Vishavua. And the Sudas are two every day. And 6 times there were 12. 12 Sudas. It was connected to the Minyan of Yudhis Chalas. Very, very posh of the marker, very interesting the marker.
Oh, but they don't have the because I'm Yom Shishi. You don't have.
Thursday and Friday morning.
No,
Malka is a Friday, Shabbos night. The only thing you're missing is Friday night and Shabbos morning. He says, very good. It goes night and sunset, sunrise. You have night and the day. So you have six, supper, breakfast, 6 times a week, which is, well, is 12. When he got on Rosh Hashanah, the Berditchever used to go around Rosh Hashanah, and his gartley would stick a lot of shafers all around, like, you know, like the Wild West, like pistols. Some people have pistols in their belt. He would have lots of shafers. Now, they actually have here the Kavanas of Shafer of the Berditchever. It's pretty awesome. It's amazing. The Kavanas of Barich is Godel, Kavanas of Shafer, which is beyond belief, the Kavanas of Shafer. Every blow has a special kavana. I never knew what it meant. Like, kavanas, what does it mean? Well, here you have barichas, the exact kavanas. It's many pages. So in case you're interested, it's blowing, I'll be the kavanas of the Berditchever. It's here someplace. In Rosh Hashanah, I think it's saying chelik. Also, he had takana, that on Rosh Hashanah night, everyone put on a talis, just like on Yom Kippur night. Everyone wore talisim Rosh Hashanah night, like in Yom Kippur night. We all wear talisim. That's either Rosh Hashanah night. Sounds like they also wear kittles. Some people really wear kittles, some don't. Oh my goodness. He says here one last thing. And he says that the Berditchever used to go around giving people shmek tabak. The Hasidim, it's very common. They go around the little snuff box and they give people a little pinch of snuff to smell. So he said that the Berditchever said that once a person smells tabak, snuff in his nose, the purpose of this is to throw away, to chase away the hirurei zima, the thoughts, the lustful thoughts that people have by smelling tabak, by taking a pinch of snuff, you chase away these thoughts. That's the purpose of it. What's the shaykhus? He said that the Pshat, another big chassid of Shmuel Mikaminka said that the reason is because bad thoughts come from the nose. Because Chazal darshan on the word loisinaf, you can break loisinaf, which means adultery, into two words, tain af. It goes into your nose. You never knew that. Tain af. So in other words, like Chazal said, you shouldn't smell a woman's perfume. It's not your wife, because it'll bring bad thoughts. Smell is very erotic. And the smell is what brings to niyuf, especially perfume. So therefore, Davka, the antidote is the smell tabak for some reason.
What?
That anytime you smell tabak, anytime you bring the snuff somehow snuffs out the taiva that goes through the nose. Because tinaf is tain af. You're sticking your nose where you don't belong. And tabak is sort of like an antidote that screens that smell. Okay, gentlemen, I think we'll stop here, and we shall continue next week. Amen to Hashem. Have a good day.